It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 10, and we're going to begin the study down at the 7th verse and 6th verse in that area, but I believe we're going to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 10, read to the end of the chapter. So please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 10, and while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, the phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, you could do that by doing www.parkviewbible@gmail.com. Now, that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Now, our website, and I would love for you to visit our website, is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. The email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com. Website is parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so please that you will contact us. We'd love to hear from you. I am glad that you're here for the study today. And we're going to begin now reading Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he sat his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. He cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more, no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this study, enjoy your precious word. Please that you will guide and lead us through each verse. We need your leadership, we need your strength, and so please that you will guide and lead us each time, each word that'll speak to our hearts. We'll have your wisdom, your power, your strength, your joy. Most of all, that we'll have your grace, and we possess your grace. In order to possess the grace that you have given us, we must come by faith to you and believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary. So please today that anyone and everyone that's listening that has not come by faith to Jesus and come by faith alone, not by any works, bringing any kind of monies or reward or anything, it is strictly believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Messiah, your Savior. So please today that you will believe, you'll come, and you'll begin to learn, because when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and he will live there forever. And so please trust in Jesus today. Call upon him, and then you will enjoy this teaching before you come to Jesus. If you have not come to Jesus, a lot of these things will just seem ridiculous to you, and just ignorance to you, and foolishness to you. But they are not foolishness. It is not ignorance. It is great wisdom. It's godly wisdom that we can have if you know Jesus as your Savior. So please trust in him today, and then come and Father, that you will just have us come by faith, walk, and study your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this 10th chapter, and we've looked at it for a couple of opportunities now that we've been together, and we see that we have one that is able and capable of standing with one foot in the sea, on the sea, and one on the earth, and we have spoken of the power and the authority that that presents. We have seven thunders that have come about, and as we look at these, the thunder is the voice of the Lord in judgment. Seven, of course, is a number of completeness or perfection. You know, in the fourth chapter of Revelation, John saw upon the throne one was to look upon as jasper and sardine stone, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders, and tell of a message of God's fury and judgment. And then, remember, in Revelation 8, Jesus come through to the earth with fire, filled the censer upon the earth, and this fire that was brought down. The censer, if you'll remember right, we studied it, and we took the censer, took the coals from the brazen altar, and brought that in and put it on the golden altar, or the prayer altar, or the incense altar inside the Holy of Holies. There was never any fire there. The censer was never used to carry fire, only these smoldering coals. But this time, this censer was filled with fire, and it was tossed to the earth. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes, as the scripture told us back in the 8th chapter. Now, the seven thunders had voices that could be heard and understood. The voices that will be fully understood. There's not going to be any question about what's coming. You know, today, people, they look at the Word of God, they look at the Bible, and then they look at many different religions, many different books, and have the thought that they're all equal. Well, they're not equal. The Word of God, the Bible, is the only book. Jehovah, our God, is the only God. There is many little gods out there that men try to worship, but there is only one true God, and there's only one God to can save, and that's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as judgment is coming, there is one reason why judgment has arrived, and that is because people refuse to believe. It's so simple. It costs nothing. You have to put no money down. You don't have to have certain talents. All you need to do is believe, not in just your mind, but in your heart. Believe completely that Jesus is the Son of God. He's your Savior, and he will save you, and he will keep you. But when you reject that, and many folks have, I know a lot of folks that have rejected that sweet, simple message of salvation, then the only choice they have is to face the wrath of God. Now, many people laugh at that. They poke fun at that. Well, they won't at this time, because as these thunders come, they will be fully and totally understood of what's coming. We already have had blood, tears, famine, killing, misery, hail, fire, burning mountains, demon locusts, men begging to die and can't, and then a third of the population slaughtered. What more could come? Well, there is more coming. And as we look to these words and look to this time, understand that as God's hand of judgment comes, they're going to know two things. The judgment is at hand, it's coming, and who is giving it. Those two things are going to be completely understood, and yet they still, understanding that, they still will not turn and trust in the Lord Jesus. You may not need to see this time if you would just come by faith today, or it's possible that you would avoid this 7 years of tribulation if you would die before then, because only those that are living at the close of the church age and the opportunity of the time of the 7 year tribulation to begin will all be simultaneously, just almost immediately, one right after the other. Church leaves and the tribulation starts. You'll need to be alive on earth to do this, to come into this time. You may not be alive at that time. And you think, well, boy, that's great. I don't have to look at this. Well, you're going to the place of torment. And the place of torment will be 1,000 times worse than what's here on earth during this tribulation period. And so you need to come by faith to Jesus. The Scripture says today is the day of salvation. We come through these verses now, and just look with me as we come down to the 8th verse. And verse 4, 7 thunders, this is chapter 10, Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that are therein, that there should be time no more. So we find that John is commanded not to write this. Seal up those things which the 7 thunders ordered, have uttered, but don't write them down. And then the next two pictures we have here, once again we have the Lord Jesus identifying himself, standing upon the sea and upon the earth, again, speaks of his authority. And then he makes a definite statement of who he is. The things that there created heaven, created everything in heaven, everything in earth he has created. He is the one that's able and capable of bringing this judgment, and rightly should. But then we find the end statement of verse 6, there should be time no more. What that is telling us is that there is no more delay. Judgment, complete, full judgment is coming. And so prepare yourself. The days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, you see, we're between the 6th and the 7th angel sounding the trumpet, shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. It's coming to an end. It's on to verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. He went to the angel and said to him, give me this little book. This mighty angel held the book. John witnessed it. This is the same book that John witnessed all the way back in chapter 5. But in chapter 5, the book was closed. Who is able and capable of taking this book was the first question. And now we know that not only he was able to take it, but he was also able to open it. And so it was closed in the fifth chapter, but here we find it to be opened because we are beginning to have the judgments of God handed out. The one that held it was one that was worthy to open it. Go and take this book. He was commanded to go and take this book that the one that was worthy, which is the Lord Jesus, held that book. He said, take that book. Now, John was given some direction. John obeyed this direction immediately, if you'll notice this. And again, we have the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And so we have that authority. Not only give me the little book, but also John was given further instructions. And we have that in verse 9. So he went unto the angel, said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Take it and eat it up. This is an action that he was commanded to do. Eating this little book means to receive the word of God by faith. Take it in. That's what this is saying. Now here, he was literally told to eat it, but we are to take in the word of God. In order to do that, of course, you must be born again. You must be saved. You must know Jesus as your Savior. Otherwise, to take this in, it is of no value, because you must have the teacher within you to explain, to show you the power and the strength and the way. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, we read, thy words were found, and the words we found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And so he was told, thy words we found, and I did eat them. Brought him joy. Ezekiel 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Ezekiel 3, verse 1 through 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honesty for sweetness. The roll here is not a bread roll that you think of. The roll here is actually a scroll, because a scroll in that day is what they used to read and to record. And here it was actually a scroll that he was demanded to eat, as we look back in this verse of Scripture in Ezekiel. And we find that it was honesty for sweetness. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Psalms 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. To eat is to make the thing one's own, to incorporate it into one's being. So when it makes reference of eating these things, it is to take it in, literally to take it in. You know, you need to hear, you need to listen. And when you truly hear and listen, you have taken it into your being. And that's what it's calling for us to do with the Word of God as a child of God. Eat it up. All the verses above here that we have read, Proverbs, Psalms, Ezekiel, and the other was Jeremiah. As we look at those verses, each one of them was speaking of very sweet things. This here in the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter. This book, the book of Revelation, tells us of what's to come. And what's to come is because, and the judgment that's being handed out is because men refuse to believe. That's the reason for this judgment. This book reveals the terrible, horrible judgments that's coming. God's holy fury. That's what's coming. In the mouth, as honey for sweetness, Ezekiel 3:3. But this message is carried on first. It says, make thy belly bitter. Ezekiel 3:14 says, went in bitterness in the heat of his spirit. The message of grace is sweet. It needs to be delivered. The message of judgment is bitter. It brings suffering, but it must be delivered. Paul tells us that God is a consuming fire. We should be thrilled by God's grace. We should be filled with joy and gladness, His saving grace. But the horrible scene of blood and wrath and fury about to be poured out upon the earth's citizens brought bitterness to his soul. Eat the book, he is told. Let's go back to John, Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verse 53. John chapter 6. Verse 53. John 6, 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. But he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As a living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1, 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who was this? The Word was made flesh. Jesus wrapped God's Word up in flesh and brought it down to man. We are to take it into our minds, into our hearts. We are to eat it every day of our life. We are literally eating the very life of Jesus. And that's what John chapter 6 was telling. Not the physical blood, the physical body, but Jesus. And Jesus comes to live within us the day we trust in Jesus, in Him, as our Savior, as our Messiah. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, lives within us, gives us, shows us Jesus every day, gives us the direction we need each and every day. And we are to eat each day, as it tells us. We are to take it in. We are to consume it. And it will give us strength. It will give us nourishment. It will give us joy. Now, back to the 10th verse of the 10th chapter. John took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, You see, the gospel is sweet. The means of salvation is sweet. But if you refuse that, bitterness is present. But it shall be in thy mouth. Angel took it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I ate it, my belly was bitter. John 8, the message of the little book. It was sweet as he tasted it, but it became bitter very quickly down in his soul. God's word brings gladness and sadness. God's word brings joy or grief. God's word can be very wonderful to you, or God's word can be very horrible to you. It all depends on which side of the cross you're on. Still staring at the cross, wondering if it's right, or have you believed that that is your salvation and you've stepped on the other side of the cross? For all born again, blood-bought Christians, salvation and living with Christ is sweet. But as we look at much of the world today, many times our friends, our family, they reject this saving power of Jesus Christ. They reject His grace. They reject His saving blood. They don't want it. They don't believe they have any need for it. It's not sweet. It's bitter knowing that they will die in their sin and burn in the lake of fire. So you see, even for the believer, it's sweet for us because we hold the gospel. But it's bitter because we know so many have rejected it. Those that reject it will die in their sin and burn in the lake of fire forever. Please that we be busy giving out the gospel, telling folks how to be saved. It's their choice. God gives the increase. We're just to sow the seed. And so please that we're busy telling people about the Lord Jesus. And then he closes this chapter out, and he says, "And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Thou must prophesy again concerning many people." John was to prophesy of them, not to them. The fury and the judgment to come will bring new scenes and new people on the scene. Prepare for the end, the scripture says. God showed Abraham the future. And we think to ourselves, oh, it'd be wonderful to see the future. But when he saw it, it wasn't so beautiful, because as the Lord Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, and the two angels came to the tent of Abraham, and Abraham discussed with him how many saved people there would be in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, and they settled on 10, thinking without question there would at least be 10 righteous, and that means 10 saved people. But as we know, if you know the story, that wasn't 10. God had to deliver out Abraham and his two daughters, and that's all that was able to come out of that city. The rest were evil and wicked, and God destroyed them. For Abraham to hold the future, to see the future, you think, boy, what a blessing. But when he saw it and saw the destruction, so it was sweet and it was bitter. To know we are heaven bound, what a joy. But there is another road that many take. This is what John is looking at here. It's the road that's coming. The first 14 verses of chapter 11 will continue the study between the sixth and seventh trumpet. we're going to bring some Old Testament times in. But as we close out this 10th chapter, I'm going to ask you that question. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?